WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button on the screen. You can use credit card box to sign up for Fortnite item shop with hashtag Epic Partner. The time is up. The time is now. His run is ending in 2025. Anyway, talk about that here in a moment. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
The time is finally up.
It finally is up.
We knew it was coming, but it was... I had heard Cena was going to be there. That was an intriguing thing.
Yeah, and well, it's not what we expected, but we'll talk about that here in a moment. Apparently, Keishi's too busy still celebrating Canada Day, so he's not here. But Tim Stein is.
Yeah, Keishi's probably celebrating Stampede, but just imagine the guy with the cowboy hat sitting on a horse holding on for dear life while it's being walked by its trainer. The Great Canadian Drunk, well underway here in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on twitch.tv/WTR Live. We've got a chat room. Come join us. Chat with people. Why not?
So Money in the Bank was last night. Actually, had it at night, not like mid-afternoon. We actually had a nighttime premium live event for the first time since WrestleMania. It was a solid show, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, there were some curveballs that we saw, we will
it
discuss.
Was a lesser, yeah, it was a lesser Money in the Bank than previous ones, but nothing to complain about.
No, you got surprises, you got big moments. I mean, the show overall was a solid show for what it was.
I mean, no one left through the crowd at the very end of the night.
No one left through the crowd, and as much as they wanted a whiteout, they did not get a whiteout.
It was a good try, but
telling the people like 24 hours beforehand, hey, go get a white shirt when all you sell is black shirts mainly. So
and we'll give you a white towel
after SmackDown. So if you're not coming back, well, you know. Also,
but
make
you got
sure
a free towel that way.
You bring back your towel. You have to remember the towel. So they try to sports it up, but
it's not terrible towels.
It was not terrible towels. No,
my buddy Farron actually traveled from Calgary to Toronto to take in Money in the Bank. He's known in local indie pro wrestling circles as Cedric Hathaway III, basically referee at large. And any
relation to Stokely?
No.
Oh.
But I mean,
it was worth an ask.
He was where he was sitting, directly behind him was a certain Canadian female superstar's husband watching as she took that big bump.
In the women's ladder match.
And he took some video and posted it.
All right, so I want to do this review a little bit differently. Who was the MVP of the show in your mind, Brent?
I mean, Drew was featured in two matches. So that could be MVP. For me, though, I have to give it to... it's a split because they were both in the same match and they were both entertaining as hell. Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green.
Why?
Chelsea sold the hell out of Money in the Bank. I liked the subtle tie into the pre-show where her and Kathy Kelly went to, was it the CN Tower?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Chelsea does not want to get anywhere near the edge. She's deathly afraid. And, I mean, we've seen this with R-Truth of, like, okay, being on the ladder, not a great thing for them. But Chelsea, like, from the start of the match, everyone runs outside, starts fighting, starts grabbing ladders. And what does she do? She tries to jump to reach it for about 15 seconds and then realizes, okay, that's not going to work. So then the ladders start getting introduced. And instead of setting the ladder up, she starts poking at it with a ladder to try and be like, maybe I could knock it down, you know, off of a locked carabiner. No, that doesn't work. And so, like, she was just entertaining as hell, like, in the match. She took some crazy bumps, especially that one at the end. Like, kudos, as much as we give her, you know, like, oh, she's comedy, oh, there's this, that, willing to take that bump off of a ladder through two tables, she's got my respect for that, because not many people would actually do that kind of, you know, bump.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany was MVP just because, like, she looked like she belonged there, and then when she had that moment with Trish, and it was just kind of like acknowledging, like, yeah, you had your time, but it's over. It's my time now, legitimately. And just the way she's going to carry herself with that briefcase will be insufferable and entertaining as all hell.
Okay. Tim, who's your MVP?
Oh, the second you asked that question, I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm scrambling to think. And for me, it's not who, but what, ultimately.
Okay.
We are used to seeing Money in the Bank be the big deal at this particular premium live event. This is the very first time that the men's Money in the Bank wasn't what we're used to it being. It was a prop as opposed to, it was a means as opposed to the end, if that's making sense to you guys.
Yeah,
because the whole thing fed into the Drew Punk storyline, and the whole thing was a prop for the Drew Punk storyline, and they opened up the pay per view with it, and like, it's the men's Money in the Bank. Why are you opening up the show with this match? And halfway through, I got it, and I'm like, shit, Drew's gonna win the briefcase. Wait a minute. Isn't Punk in Toronto this weekend? All right, shenanigans.
So let's stay there. Was it the right move overall to make Drew the Money in the Bank winner?
For the purposes of the storyline, it works. And I'm not talking about... we know what storyline I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They are doing their damnedest to turn Drew Punk into a monster match when it finally lands... we're thinking next month it's SummerSlam, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, it may be them. It may be something else.
I was about to bring it up, intern.
Okay.
And if you were planning on going where I was leading next,
mm-hmm.
Punk now has two people pissed off at him.
Oh, yes, he does.
Because thanks to CM, Seth can no longer challenge for the title so long as Damian holds it. And at the very end, they made sure that you knew Seth was ready to kill CM Punk at the end of the night.
They did. So, Brent, was it the right move to put it on Drew?
When we look at the people in the match, I think using this as Tim said, a kind of prop. And the only other time I could think of it as a prop before was when Otis won during the pandemic. Because it fell onto him, he had it, and then ultimately he lost it to The Miz, who used Bobby to get it. So it's like the Money in the Bank was really just a tool to get the belt off of Drew to set up the Mania main event. For this, I think it was... It's going to be that thing that really kind of breaks Drew, because it's like he had the title opportunity, Punk cost him. Then he had another title opportunity, Punk cost him. Then he went in, got Money in the Bank, and was like, I'm going to do this, and Punk screwed him again. It's getting to the point where it's like, from a storyline standpoint, it's like, okay, Punk has screwed the man enough. We're now going to get to, like Tim said, that kind of like ultimate, they'll get their hands on each other and beat the high holy hell out of one another, which is what we all want to see. But what you also did was introduce another component into it with Seth Rollins. And in different parts of the show, they really started to kind of build on that. Like when Wade Barrett was talking about CM Punk and Seth Rollins, and he's talking about how this goes back 10 years, and he wasn't going to talk about what happened, but there's stuff there. And it's like they're really trying to embed the fact of we could have Drew and Punk, but once they kind of get their hands on each other, it feels like, okay, you may escalate it with another type of match, but what happens then? With this, you have two avenues. You can either introduce a triple threat at SummerSlam, which is Punk, Drew, and Seth, or you can have Punk and Drew face each other, and then you have that build eventually to Seth and Drew, or Seth and Punk at, you know, maybe a grand stage of them all. Like, in theory, we were supposed to get this year.
I think we were supposed to get this year. Cash, was it the right move to make Drew Money in the Bank?
I mean, with how it all played out, I think it works out okay. Because if you really think about it, it makes it so you don't have two Money in the Bank briefcases rolling around. They tend to be really good at like not doing that, so that the one person who has the Money in the Bank briefcase, it kind of makes it seem like a bigger deal. So I think having one of them cash in night of always kind of benefits. And I mean, when a lot of us were... Well, and I think when you and Lindsay were talking about this on the preview for it earlier, you talk about who you see that's likely to hold the case and who would benefit from holding the case. It does a good job furthering that story for Drew, just like everybody else has said so far. Yeah. And it just gives him one more thing that he can walk around saying that Punk screwed him out on. So I think as far as like furthering that storyline, I think it's a good idea. I think it's good to not have two Money in the Bank briefcases going at one time, because like I said earlier, it kind of helps establish that one Money in the Bank briefcase, and they only have to focus on that one person can cash in at any time versus two people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one other thing that they did, which we haven't touched on yet, was the post show, which Rock and I were messaging afterwards, and he was saying, like, you know, oh, these post shows are great. Yeah, because what it does is it makes you watch after the event. So it's not just, okay, we've hit the end credits, you know, they put up the copyright sign, we're done.
I'm glad I watched it.
Now you've got that, you know, you had the segment where it was like Solo was asking for acknowledgement, and that's all it was. It furthers him as an important piece moving forward. And then you watched Drew just completely lose his shit and put hands on the GM.
It's so it now interesting to see what happens between him and Adam Pearce tomorrow night.
So, right, Drew has been indefinitely suspended because of that.
So now it makes it, but it's like now you have to tune in to see, okay, what was going to happen? When's the announcement hitting? You know, is Drew going to show up on Monday anyway to be like, screw you? You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my hands on this guy.
He's going to buy a ticket and sit in the audience.
Well, I mean, if Punk's not cleared, that kind of helps push that off until he's ready, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another.
I would assume he's cleared. Just think they're waiting for the big pop for the announcement on television, which is why he didn't say it last night. But yeah, because as you mentioned, I wasn't sold on anyone holding the men's Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really in that match needed it based on their standings. I mean, Jay winning would have been a good story for him, but it's like, felt very predictable. So I asked them, and we'll tie some stuff in, but who was your MVP of the showcase?
Ooh, honestly, I'm going to say it was Chelsea Green. I think she played her part perfectly with how she suddenly kept going in and trying to get the title. They kind of worked around that whole she's afraid of heights thing, even though you have to kind of ignore everything else she's done up until she came back to the WWE. But aside from that, I think she did exactly what she needed to do for that match.
Yeah, and Brent was with you for that, for MVP. So
half.
Because Brent always does more than what's required for the assignment.
And nobody mentioned that she came out in Canada's colors.
She was a walking maple leaf flag.
So Drew McIntyre won the Men's Money Bank. He cashed in during Damian Priest and Seth Rollins, which had some controversy because Seth Rollins should be your world champion.
Yeah.
Did they say what ended up happening there? Was he, music Damian, supposed to hit Damian beforehand?
Was supposed to kick. Damian was supposed to kick.
Yeah. Because that's what I thought.
Do we know why he didn't? Did he get his bell rung?
He may have got his bell rung because there's a thing where someone pointed out he asked what the hell happened right afterwards.
Yeah.
There was that, and you could see, like, after that moment, he had this look on his face like, God damn it.
Like, I thought it was a timing issue at first, because that's sort of what it seemed like, because it came 10 seconds later. Like, ooh, they just missed it. But it apparently wasn't that.
Mm, yeah, I wonder if he got his bell rung somewhere.
Wouldn't be surprised.
There were a lot of bells rung last night.
Yeah.
No, he could have just messed up the timing, and good thing for the ref knowing exactly what was supposed to be happening in that match.
Yeah, the ref covered. It wasn't a great cover, but he covered because everyone saw it. Like, you could clearly see it, and that's the interesting part about it. But Triple H talked about it.
I feel like there have been a lot of missed pins lately on WWE, or bad camera angles where the shoulders are up or nobody kicked out in time. It seems like we're talking about that almost every PLE.
It's been two of the last three that there's something like that, and both different things, which are unfortunate. It's, I guess, just sort of happens. But before that, they were having a pretty good match.
The fans love themselves some Jey Uso and some LA Knight.
Yeah, I was moving to the other match, though.
Oh, okay.
The title match with Priest and Rollins. I think they had a good match up until the point, but as Tim brought up, Drew was trying to cash in for the title. It was a prop. He failed because of CM Punk.
Which advances a couple of different stories here.
Yeah.
So Damian gets to stay in the Judgment Day because he retained his title. But as we saw, there is some dissension there. They're sowing the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you can now do with Finn Balor, if you really want to, because Damian dropped the whole, they need me more than I need them, and then he had to explain, it's because I'm the champion, and you guys just won the tag champ, so now we're all needing each other. And now Finn can needle Damian in a way to be like, hey, you didn't win it on your own. It took CM Punk to come in to save your title. And
second time.
Right, and it's like he can go, we didn't involve ourselves, so, you know, we're following what you said. And like I said, it could be one of those, like, passive-aggressive things where it's just like he's needling him of being like, you told us not to get involved, we didn't get involved, but you needed help. And
you use the word passive-aggressive. The most obvious display of passive-aggressiveness from Balor was right before the match, and Priest saying, I want to handle my business, stay out of my business. And everybody's, okay, pregnant pause, And then Balor, you know, under his breath, whatever you want, boss.
I mean, that could happen.
I mean, that was a massive passive aggressive right there. And for me, that was the ultimate setup for the eventual showdown. Very subtle, but very blatantly obvious at the same time.
Yeah.
The main problem I had with the match was they were telegraphing Drew's arrival appearance in the first part of the match. The two of them were both looking over their shoulders. At one point, who was it? Priest said, "Come on, Drew, get out here," or whatever.
Rollins did.
That was Rollins.
Or Seth did that. Yeah, okay. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have looked over the shoulders. They shouldn't have telegraphed the anticipated appearance of Drew.
Yeah, but I thought Drew kind of basically said that he's going to win that title. When he does, he's coming out that night.
Yeah, he made it clear.
He called his
shot. So, having them look is like, we know you're coming. It's just a matter of when. So you might as well come now. Well, they're kind of just like calling his bluff.
Yeah, Drew didn't exactly specifically say he was doing it like he implied it.
No, he did. No.
He said, step one, I'm winning the briefcase. Step two,
I'm cashing in that night.
Cashing in. Yeah. And step three, I'm winning the title.
Yeah, that night.
He said,
I'm cashing in that night.
I did not hear him say
that. Yeah, he said that night. He said it on Raw. He said it on the pre-show. He said it on the kickoff. He said, and I think SmackDown too.
He said it on the premium live event right before it all went down. Anyway, maybe they edited it from what I saw. But even then, ignore the fact that he's threatened to come out, that you're expecting him to come out. Just let him come the fuck out. Don't worry about it. You guys are fighting each other for that title. And until he actually shows up, it's between the two of you. Keep it between the two of you. To me, it would have been a bigger thing had they done that, and then Drew comes up and gets himself involved and makes it a three-way, no rules, no DQ, rather.
Yeah, now, it didn't irk me as much as it did you, but I can see where you're coming from.
Now, just to clarify, I'm coming across as being hypercritical about it, and I'm not hypercritical about it. I just think, you know, like, in my opinion, you know, like, if I'm booking the show, Casey, I'm telling you, don't look over your shoulder. Don't call him out. Focus on your opponent. Focus on the here and the now. And just imagine that the match is between you and Bucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have also, I mean, based on how they booked the match, it kind of made sense for them to look. But, like, typically, usually, like, when someone comes out after they win, it's usually at the end of the match. So you could have almost had them, if he was coming out after, could add whoever win the match and then start calling the guy out. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's not, for me, it's not that big of a deal.
It's a nit that I'm picking. That's what it is. It's not a hypercritical thing. I'm just picking at a nit.
Yep.
So, and Chad and the Wyatts is a totally different thing from what I'm talking about, Jersey Devils fan. Enjoy Markstrom, by the way. Anyway, moving on.
So that's the world title situation. The Intercontinental title situation was interesting when Sami Zayn retained his title.
I didn't expect it.
I don't think a lot of us did.
I was expecting that they were going to put it on Braun. I'm not disappointed that Sami retained. I love Sami as a wrestler. He's as a worker, not just, you know, like, you know, wrestler, but as the worker that he is. He deserves a bit of a run with the title. But the match last night did not hurt Braun in the least bit.
Nope.
No, he still looked really good in his effort. Still looked every bit, you know, the beast that they've been marketing him as.
The statement that came to mind is, if it was anybody else, Braun would have killed him. But Sami is just built differently. I think that's the way to put it.
Well, and you marketed this match as Braun is a freak athlete. You know, he is a once in a generation kind of, not talent, that's someone else. But he's, you know, you don't see something like him all the time. But what they did was they marketed Sami as, He's the wily veteran. He's the guy, you know, the ultimate underdog. He's been beaten down, but yet he finds a way to keep coming back. And ultimately, it's like, the, you know, he was able to avoid the spear. He hit the Huluva kick and got the win. So now it's that kind of thing of, does Braun simply rely on his athletic talent again? Because if there's another match, is it just, well, I'm going to outpower you again? Or does he learn from his mistake and go, okay, I'm going to adapt a little bit more and kind of show that little bit of growth on that aspect?
Yeah, at some point, if they want to keep pushing Braun and elevating him, at some point they're going to have to show that he is adaptable and wily as well as freakish. And when it is time for him to be elevated, I can't think of a better wrestler to do the honors than Sammy. For him at this point in time.
Yeah, I still think people, it would have been a better move to have it happen last night.
Yeah, but we also don't know what the overall story is going to be for this. So this could simply be chapter one, or this could be, you know, we really didn't have anything past this point. So we'll find out.
Well, and would it have gotten lost amongst all the other things that happened with, like, the Money in the Banks and through CM Punk, Rollins, Priest? Yeah. Just, oh, and remember, that too.
Remember what Triple H said recently. You know, we've got an 8-month plan. This is where we want to be 8 months from now. Now, let's figure out how to get there. I paraphrased a little bit, but that's
a long-term plan how to get there, the destination, and all those things.
Now, how do we get?
So the women's Money in the Bank, we've already talked about the MVPs of the match. It was a train wreck in a fun way, though.
Yeah.
It was a bit rough around the edges.
There were a couple of, that was sloppier than it should have been. And then there were a couple of, that was super tight. And then there was one or two, holy shit.
I don't know if Zoe Stark knows what day it is.
Yeah. Didn't she, like, flatten the top of her head on that?
She did a senton from the apron over the top rope, and I think misjudged the ladder and just went crack.
Yep.
Well, I think she just had ladder, and it was Lyra. They were just too close to the ropes, and I think she needed to be out, like, just another foot so she could get a piece of her.
That there was another spot where Lyra just went arm first into the ladder.
Yep.
There were a couple of nasty spots in that match last night.
Yeah, well, ladders are unpredictable.
Ladders can be nasty.
But we learned at the end it was Tiffy time.
So I think we pretty much all wound up getting that one right.
No. Almost.
No, we didn't.
I didn't.
Yeah, but I respect your decision, Keish. I respect your decision.
But similarly, in my pick, I said it was probably going to be Tiffany Stratton, but I did stick with my guns.
Yeah, you did say, I think it's going to be Tiffany, but I'm going to stick with who I originally thought or said.
Yeah.
So, GG's on that. And I love that she acknowledged what's going to happen. Even in the post-match press conference, she brought up the fact she is going to turn the briefcase pink. She's going to bedazzle the shit out of it. And she's throwing an extra strap on there to carry it around like a fucking Chanel purse. It's going to be so extra, and I'm here for it, because this is why you put it on her. She's going to carry that thing around and be insufferable with that. And you've already got a storyline building with her and Nia, where if Nia takes Bayley down at SummerSlam, Tiffy has positioned herself to be right there and can cash in at any time.
Yep.
Yeah, she's going to do a good job with it.
And if they sell her remade version of the thing in WWE Shop, they're going to make some money, let me tell you.
Yep. Get your Malibu Money in the Bank briefcase.
Just, even if they do, like, they can do a miniature version of that to be, like, an actual kind of handbag, and they can, put that thing out for probably $30 and just make money.
Oh, a nice little pink Money in the Bank clutch.
Exactly. I mean, you saw people there with the, like, decorative Money in the Banks from that event. You know, the blue one that you saw, like, right behind the tables. So people are willing to buy that shit.
Little girls will eat it up.
Mm-hmm. Hell, Lindsay will eat it up. She's already said it.
So, yeah, Tiffy time is a thing. And then the Bud Line stood tall over the baby faces last night. Jacob Fatu's in-ring debut.
I love the storyline with him. They acknowledged the issues.
They did.
Well, first you had Jay talking about he was just glad to be in the country. He was like, yeesh, you know, I'm just glad to be here, y'all.
Well, there was a time when they wouldn't be able to, so.
Right. There's just one key difference between Jey Uso and Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
Jay's was a DUI. Jacob's, you can look up what reason he has. But I like that they turned that into story, where it's Triple H had to pull strings, he had to go to bat, and it's because he is such a dangerous individual that they weren't going to let him in. It just adds that extra little bit of like, oh, okay, maybe he is a little crazy. Maybe he is someone that opponents shouldn't trust.
I mean, they really put it up, but the match was pretty good. What'd you guys think?
I enjoyed it.
I know people are... go ahead.
I like that they got the typical, like, don't bother dropping a Samoan on his head because it doesn't do anything.
I was just going to talk about the fact that there's a lot of people online that were bitching and moaning about, oh, look, he no-sold something. Yeah, but it's also, like, Randy's draping DDT is, I mean, Michael Cole will say it, vintage. And it usually, you know, it's an impactful move. But as you said, there is a long history of Tongans and Samoans getting hit in the head and it not fazing them. Haku, Tongan Kid, you know, Afa, Sika, all of
Samoan
them.
Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah, you know, Umaga, all of, you know, all of them have had that moment where it's like, oh, I'm going to take your head and put it into the turnbuckle. And they just turn to look at you like, the hell are you doing?
Yeah, the match itself for me was predictable, but in a very entertaining way is the best way I could put it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did what it needed to.
Solo number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
Big main event for SummerSlam.
And it's him pinning Cody makes him the number one, and it also kind of shows that moment of, like, he's going to try and do what Roman couldn't, which is defend the belt against Cody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means we may also see someone make an appearance at SummerSlam.
You could possibly see Cody lose the belt to further that.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
I think the bloodline issues get resolved before Cody loses the belt.
I mean, anything's possible. I still think there's an opportunity to take the belt off of Cody for a month or two and sort of let Solo run with it, and then you decide to bring back Roman, I think.
Get his feet under him a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and it can also be the fact of, like, Solo gets the belt and he thinks he's, you know, hot shit, and Roman can come back and be like, yeah, you've held it for 2 months. Good on you. That's not what being the head of the table's about.
Because there's an event called Bad Blood returning to Atlanta, Cody's backyard, in October.
I saw that and I'm like, oh, right.
So, you know.
The last Bad Blood that I watched that I really enjoyed was that match between Hunter and Sean.
04, I think.
Somewhere around there. Was it 04 or 05?
June 04, I think. That's where my brain goes. I think it was June 04. Could be 05.
There was a lot of blood in that match.
There was.
June 13th, 2004.
There you go.
So yeah, we'll see where the bloodline stuff goes. But apparently, in 2025, it's the end of John Cena.
The last time starts now.
He was introduced by the host of the evening, Trish Stratus. And he said that he's retiring. And just not now. And he said it will be his last Royal Rumble, his last Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania 41 will be his last WrestleMania. And then he'll wrestle at SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, and a variety of other premium live events probably all over the world till December, because he has 30 to 40 dates on the calendar at this point to work. So we're going to be seeing a lot of John Cena. But were we shocked about that he actually announced the retirement tour?
No. I was shocked that he announced it. I kind of thought that he would, or at least I didn't think that he would call his shot so early.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that maybe, like, you know, the road to WrestleMania, he might be like, this is my last time, so, you know, it's time to whatever, do one last thing, versus like starting now and being like, hey, I'm going to be here for another year, just so you know.
What are your thoughts, Brent?
I'm not overly surprised, because I think he telegraphed it a little bit with his speech why he did it. And I mean, he talked about it in the post event in or press conference as well, where one last question kept turning into five last questions.
At least 10 questions.
Yeah, he kept it rolling because he said he was going to answer all of them, including someone asking about a certain former chairman. But Cena, like I said, telegraphed it in a bit when he said, I'm going to be there at Netflix.
That's big.
Which is big because it's that thing of, okay, now you need to tune in because you know he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So it's pulling the eyes, it's pulling the people, you know, for that first event that's going to be on Netflix for Raw into the arena to be like, ooh, we get to see John Cena. Boom.
You're going to get Cena and Rock probably on Netflix.
Right. And then when he's announcing, this is going to be my last Rumble, this is going to be my last Elimination Chamber, again, it's starting to be like, okay, when those events are announced, if you're a Cena fan, this is probably your last chance locally to see him. So you're driving the tickets, you're driving the eyes there. As much as you may decry, like, retirement tours, and I mean, I know I did for other people. What?
Like Kiss?
Kind of. Similar face paint, just not.
Wrong musical act.
Oh.
But I think it's one of those, from a business standpoint, I get it, because again, it's pulling eyes, it's making it known, the fact of like, this event, you're going to see him here, and you know, it's the farewell tour, so you want to make sure that you go, you pay your respects, etc. And you do get to kind of fantasy book the very end of like, okay, who are these, what are the matches that you want to see at the very end? Who do we think is going to be the Mania opponent for him in that final step?
Yeah.
And it just kind of like turns it more into an event, because you know, for him, it's like, he's going to ride this out. He's not going to go anywhere else afterwards. It's just, when I'm done, and he said it, when I'm done, I'm done. I'm not going to do the whole, like, make another appearance. He's like, that will be it. I will be done in the ring, plain and simple.
He'll never wear the jorts again.
Yeah, he said he's retiring the jorts.
What was your reaction, Tim?
I was impressed that halfway through his speech, he was able to turn the Cena sex crowd into thank you, Cena. You could tell that he wasn't just reading words on a teleprompter. You could tell shit was coming out of his mouth straight from his heart.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that part of the situation goes. Letting everybody know that he's going to have a nice, long, graceful goodbye tour. There's nothing wrong with that. His final match will be WrestleMania 2025. Is he going to win the Royal Rumble?
No. His final match is not WrestleMania 2025.
What's that?
His last match is not at WrestleMania.
Well, he said that it will end at WrestleMania 2025.
No, that's his last WrestleMania. He clarified in the press conference he's working from January to December, 40 appearances.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the question speculation is, are they going to get a short title run on one brand or the other just so he can be called the 17-time champion?
That's why he said it, you know, if it happens, it happens. That's why he's going to probably be in the Rumble or the Elimination Chamber. He even said, you know, there's money in the bank, if that's the road he wants to go.
So, we'll see how it all plays out. I don't really know what to say other than that. I mean, you know, like, okay, well, you've been at it for like 20-some-odd years.
It's time for it to come to an end.
Let's see what's left in the tank.
Yeah.
Get on with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one to sit around and feel the build of anticipation. If you're going to do something, fucking do it. Like, quit talking. Enough, you know, a little more action, a little less conversation, please.
So we'll see him again for the debut on Netflix, most likely.
Yeah.
Should be a big deal. All right, overall thoughts on the showcase? Favorite match, favorite moment?
Favorite match. think I'm going to go with the women's ladder match.
Okay.
Only because, like, there were more people to that, like, I wanted to see win the briefcase versus in the men's match. It was kind of like, well, anybody could win, but nobody really needed it. Like, a lot of those guys were kind of are going to be perfectly fine without it. They didn't need the briefcase. So, like, I don't know, I was a little bit more invested with the women's ladder match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go with that one. What was the second part? I can't remember now.
Moment.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back with Chelsea Green when she went off the ladder through those tables. She hit them, like, perfectly.
She did.
Yeah.
Tim, favorite match and moment?
Well, my favorite match is Braun Sammy. They elevated Braun while keeping the title on Sammy, and it's Sammy. It was a great match, and it highlighted Sammy's, Rocky Balboa-ness. He just keeps coming at you no matter what. It doesn't stay down. As far as my moment, yeah, I'm echoing Casey. The table spot was awesome, especially coming from Chelsea Green, because you don't expect her to have a high spot like that.
Right.
For match of the night overall, I would give it to men's Money in the Bank. I think there were a lot of just good kind of flowing spots through there. It kind of subverted expectations because we all thought it was going to be, you know, like, oh, it's Jey Uso, or, you know, maybe they'd go with LA Knight. Honestly, when I saw Drew get the briefcase, I kind of went, oh, okay, so they're going to do this. Interesting. And then we also didn't see, like, we thought it was going to be just interference palooza for this, because it's like, oh, maybe Logan Paul gets involved. Oh, maybe the Wyatts get involved. It was pretty clean, straight on through. They just, you know, they picked Drew and ran with it. So I think as a match overall, I would give it for that. Moment of the night. I don't want to go with the ladder spot because it's been chosen already. I think, honestly, just moment of the night, the thing that Money in the Bank is going to be remembered for is John Cena announcing. Because that is, Hunter came into the show talking about, like, it's going to be, you know, a huge, you know, like, this is going to change a lot of things. Well, yeah, this is the ending of an era. Like, we had end of an era before with Hunter, Shawn, and Taker. This is another one where Cena's been involved for 20 years. He's been the face of the company for he was the face of the company for a long time, and now it's all going to be over, legitimately. Like, I know he's pulled away a bit, but he said, like, he's not going to step through the ropes when this is all over, so I think that's a pretty big moment.
It is a bit, pretty big moment. All right. With that, Brent, housekeeping.
All right, housekeeping. So I told Rock before, we didn't do that great on Pick'em, and then I remembered, oh, wait, Damian Priest actually did win his match, so I had to make some recalculations. So in Pick'ems, starting from the bottom, in 12th place, going 1-4, we have Sheila.
Oh, God, I'm going to hear about that one.
Tied for 7th place, going 2-3, we have The Wheel, Sarah, Rob, Casey, and the 8-ball. Casey, okay. I admire your integrity. The record does not.
I'm going to give myself imaginary half points that mean nothing.
Tied for second
place. Whose line is it anyway?
Tied for second place, going 3-2, so just over 500, is Tim, Sub, Rock, Lindsay, and myself. There were only two people who selected True McIntyre to win the Money in the Bank. Rob was one of them. And then in first place, going 4-1, was Chris P.
There you go. And that be our show.
That's it. That's all she wrote for tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Money in the Bank. At least as much as we did. I do believe that the entire panel here liked the show. If you haven't watched it, catch the replays. That being said, tomorrow night, the new week kicks off immediately following Raw's post show.
It's the Raw Post Show live, 11 p.m. Eastern, every Monday night.
You know, you haven't yet heard Lindsay's opinion on Money in the Bank, and I think Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, would be a perfect time for her to let you know how disappointed she was that the Wyatt 6-6 didn't show up or something. I don't know, but tune into The Rack on Thursday night, 10 p.m.
Eastern. We'll review Money in the Bank and talk all news and notes and all the things. The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
DM battles. Are you guys still at it
on Fridays?
Okay, well, do another segment this Friday.
We are Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's GM battles. There's emotes in chat. So tune in Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Which leads me to what comes after 3?
4.
So does that mean you're playing golf again on Saturday?
I don't know. We haven't figured it out. But it's WTR, it's WTR Game Night live, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
And that being said, we might be back next Sunday.
Yeah, we should be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on the socials.
Yeah, follow me on Twixter, or X, or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it anymore. Elon Musk's new toy at Planesforms.
Casey's on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on a bunch of those things at Kyle Driver, X, Threads, Instagram. That's probably it. Sometimes I'm there, most times I'm not, but I do exist.
Buy KG's merchandise on Redbubble.
Yes. Yeah, I got a link to that merch store on X and Instagram. I don't think I've done it on Threads yet because I haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I might.
One day.
One
before,
day.
Before the end of the year.
As Wayne, yeah, let's from go with that. As Wayne from Letterkenny says, Cash, figure it out.
I'm sure the... Sure, it'll only take me like 2 seconds. I just haven't bothered putting the effort in.
There you go.
You can find me on Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens for any of those that should work and take you exactly where you need to. If it doesn't, I am not responsible for whatever is out there in the ones that are not that way.
You and your friends were sitting around talking about professional wrestling the other day. Okay, I know intern got that, but probably...
I watched the show. I got the reference.
We all You're 10-ply, okay. Bruh.
All right, bruh. All right, boys. It's a good time for a celly, boys.
Anyway, I can't say what Shorzy says.
Yeah, fuck you, Shorzy. Oh, shit. Yeah, that said, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Russell Talk Radio. Have a great week. Hydrate. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth. Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now.